Hello, hi, it's Anmona. Welcome to Life as a Freelancer podcast brought to you by Times Live. I am your host, Noxula Quella. If you are passionate about turning your dreams into businesses, navigating opportunities, and creating something truly impactful, this conversation is just for you. Today, we have two extraordinary guests who embody the spirit of entrepreneurship through creativity and community. Our first guest is DJ Akio Kawahito, founder and music coordinator of Strictly Soul and a music director with an incredible 20 years of experience in entertainment. And then we have our lovely lady, Anita Magetla, event coordinator and host of Strictly Soul with expertise in fashion design, marketing and international concert coordination. I feel like I'm a fan right now. How are you guys? Are you guys not jet lagged? You're always traveling.
I actually finally feel rested. We've been at home for about 2 nights.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have gotten a world of sleep.
Wow.
I know. But generally, yes, we are feeling exhausted, stretched thin. We have a lot on our plate all the time.
Yeah. Okay, how are you?
The same. You know, this is the a stretch of being at home is always like welcome. We've got to hit the road again on the weekend, but yeah, it's been pretty good. I love just being home, being able to like eat on my own schedule, exercise, like get some rest, and yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to our chat today, actually. And some of the topics that we're going to be discussing is your entrepreneurial journey, creating opportunities for talents, the entrepreneur's playlist, business growth and sustainability, and lastly, the vision for the future. So my first question is that Strictly Soul isn't just about music. It's a business model built on passion, community, and opportunity. Starting as an Instagram Live, which is actually so crazy for me, and it moved to a live event which spans across 6 countries and 8 cities. So as the founders, Akio, and the music coordinator, and also the host, Anita, you guys didn't just curate parties. You built an entire platform for artists to grow and audience to connect. Can you tell us what the vision was behind transforming Strictly Soul from a virtual event into a live movement across the continent?
So initially, when I started the IG Live, the intention was to turn it into an actual event. So, you know, I think during that time, we didn't really know what the future held.
Yeah.
And as a DJ, people were hitting me up, why don't you need to do live sets on IG Live? Because that was the thing. I mean, if we remember what lockdown was like.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm always very forward thinking and intentional in my actions. So my idea was like, all right, I don't want to just go on IG Live and just do a set for the sake of doing a set. If I'm going to invest the time into doing something, let me make it consistent.
Yeah.
And let me come up with a theme so that it can be translated into an actual event once, assuming lockdown ends. And for me, I've been wanting to do an R&B party, I think, since about 2016 or 17. At the time, we were much more focused on hip-hop.
Yeah.
But I saw that there was a gap in R&B. And
absolutely,
just from a way that I was DJing, I was incorporating more R&B. So I was just thinking, I think an R&B party would go up, but the schedule was just a bit too crazy. So the opportunity that came with lockdown was to develop this new concept. So for me, it's like I look at the time, COVID lockdown, and part of me is like grateful for it. Like obviously a lot of bad things went down during that time. But for me, I shed a toxic relationship and I also birthed Strictly Soul. So two very big moments in my life came as a result of lockdown. So that's kind of how it started. And even then, we always knew that there was growth for expansion. We knew that if we could make it succeed in Johannesburg, then why not in Cape Town? If we can make it work in Cape Town, why not in Durban? If we can make it work in Durban, why not in Tanzania? And then from there, we just kind of kept growing because we knew that the gap that existed in South Africa existed everywhere. And again, going back to entrepreneurship, my philosophy has always been just, I'd rather have 100% market share of something small than 1%, market share of something big. So, always, I don't look at what is popular. I look at what's missing, and that's, we felt that was missing across the continent, R&B as a lit party.
Yeah. And I think especially, if you consider what the musical climate was from 2020 onwards, 2020 was when the kind of shift from gom to amapiano happened.
Yes.
And amapiano became the behemoth of music. It just dominated every area of everything. And, that's been the case for basically the past 4 years. So when Strictly Soul started in South Africa, people were like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what we've been missing. We've been missing something that's like less hectic.
Yeah.
But literally every territory that we enter, it's the same response because across the continent, amapiano is the dominant genre. It's basically steamrolled all of the other from house, hip hop. I mean, Afrobeats still has a strong hold.
Yeah.
But in terms of like variety and what is now has now essentially become the alternative scene.
Yeah.
You know, there is that market that, you know, while R&B isn't alternative, it has become an alternative space. It's become almost a counterculture to what the mainstream is. So it's been interesting seeing that pick up.
I just want to say thank you, guys. I feel seen, you know. As a person who's born in the early 90s, we obviously grew up to early 90s R&B soul, early 2000s. It's so nostalgic. Even today, it's hard for me to actually put myself into new music. I'm such a golden oldie, if that's the word. So when I saw something like Strictly Soul, I was just like, oh my God, how did they beat me to this idea?
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that I was the first person to have the idea to do an R&B party, but we're the first ones to actually put in the work to make it happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with us breaking down again, the opportunity, it's not like we could just pull up to a spot and say, hey, we want to do an R&B party.
Yeah.
People were like, yo, you're crazy. Okay. No, or they'll be like, okay, great. Yeah, we'll give you a Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's the whole concept of this party was that it's not a Sunday party. Sunday soul sessions existed before us.
100%.
But those were much, much for older audiences, very much 80s, 90s. You know, we wanted to prove that we could throw a party that could exist on a Friday or Saturday. It could be just as lit as any other club night.
Yeah.
And could cater to, you know, obviously our older millennials and Gen X's, but also our Gen Z's. Mm-hmm. And that was the objective. We didn't want it to be a party where it's all tables and everybody just chilling and standing up every once in a while to sing along. We wanted it to be people on the dance floor, sweating it out, singing their lungs out, and just giving us the same energy that we give them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I think also, you know, because we are not Gen Z, shall we say?
Yeah.
We grew up in a time when the club used to be fun.
It was.
People used to dance. It wasn't all about sections.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the way the club has evolved now is so spend focused.
Absolutely.
And less about, you know, making friends, meeting people. Sure, having a drink, but, you know, the focus isn't how many bottles you buy.
Yeah.
And so we've been actively trying to shift our focus away from that and make it more about the people. We're, you know, as you said, we're about community as much as we're about music. And a lot of that is about not seeing our customers as like dollar signs.
Yeah.
They are people who come to engage with us, with the music, with the culture.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, a kind of approach where we expect a reasonable spend and reasonable behavior from our community is what makes it something that people don't feel like, exploited or stretched out. It's, as we say, we never want Strictly Soul to be something that people regret.
Yeah.
You don't want to go home at the end of the day having spent 10,000 rand and now you're sick to your stomach.
Yeah.
You know? So these are, I guess that's kind of how we treat it as more of a community effort than just the straight up business.
Yeah, I think one of the examples that we can give for that is like something that we fight with venues is for tables.
Yeah.
So again, one of the concept we have like to say is, you know, when we first started this 5 years ago or so, we looked at our target audience and we thought it was someone who on Friday night could be in Bromfontein at Great Dane or Kitchener's, and then on Saturday night be at Sumo or one of the other clubs. We knew that our crowd can go both ways.
Versatile.
You know, exactly. So what we want to do is give people the experience, the things they like about the club without the things that they don't like about the club.
Yeah.
So we do have tables. You can book tables and stuff like that. I mean, I'm at a point in my life, I like to have a table, but one of the things we don't have is a minimum spend, and that's something that we fight with a lot of venues. Mm. And the reason for that is that we would rather have a table that spends 3,000 rand, but is there for that is about the music, is about the energy, is about the vibe, than have someone who's spending 20,000 rand but just doesn't actually care about R&B. They're just there because they know that it's popping. They know that there's a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Like for us, the energy is much more important than the money.
Yeah,
you know.
I love how intentional you guys are.
Yeah, and especially I think, you know, as you know, if you attend especially the main event, the party event, you'll see it's like 60-70% women.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the kind of club spaces that are focused on spend, they commodify the women. It is, you're catering to a handful of big spenders for whom a collection of pretty girls is a key element of their enjoyment.
Yes.
It's part of why they're buying so many bottles. It's part of why there's,
exactly,
you know, stop the music,
yeah,
sparklers, everything whenever they order a bottle. But for us, women are our primary target market. They are the customer that we would rather have. We would rather have a room full of women and no big spenders than have a handful of bread and butter clients that are going to you bankroll us the whole night.
Yeah.
Just for the culture, for the vibe, for the comfort of everyone involved, that to us is significantly more important.
Yeah, I think one of the beautiful things that you see about like our event is you see a table of all girls and they got their own bottles, like you know, they're spending their own. And I think this is one of the things that we talk about from a strategy point of view when we meet with sponsors or other you know, potential stakeholders. And when we say this is a party for girls, everything that we do about the party is focused on the female consumer and the way that we say that it's different because, okay, every club, their focal point is to get girls in.
Absolutely.
But what is the end point? So the end point for them is to get more girls in so that they get more guys in.
Yes.
Our strategy is we don't care. Our
free before
point,
11 p.m.
Yeah. Our strategy is we're trying to get more girls in for the sake of the girls. So our mentality in terms of their experience doesn't stop once they come in the door.
Yeah.
A lot of other clubs, their strategy for the girls ends. Once they get them in, they don't actually care. Now they're focused on catering to the men that are spending.
Mm.
For us, every part of the experience is we're focused on the female consumer.
I love that. It's so empowering also. Like, it's something as little as buying alcohol and being in a space with women, which is so empowering. And I'm actually fascinated by the gap that you guys found. So, Akia, how did you transition from being a DJ, which you still are, to building such a powerful multi-city brand?
You know, I've always been in the event space.
And
prior to Strictly Soul, I ran an event called Cool Out, which was both Cape Town and Joburg. So I think I had a bit of experience working between cities. And I'd been in the event space before Strictly Soul was 2020.
Yeah.
So I'd been running events for a solid 12, 13 years before. So I think it was kind of more just the expansion. And I think previously, if I look at the other events that I ran, I was never really front facing. I was one of the DJs on the lineup.
Yeah.
But it was very much being a part of the collective. And from an artist point of view, I was putting other DJs and like other members of the team more forward. You know, so I think that's one of the biggest difference now with Strictly Soul versus Cool Out is now the identity of the event from a business point of view, but I'm also front facing from an artist point of view. So I think that is more of the change. Not so much the business side or the event side.
Yeah.
It's being more having more exposure as an artist.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I was actually at the live edition that you guys had in September at Houghton, and I was introduced to an artist called Ben September, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah.
I think he was really cool. How do you scout new talent, and how can a talent listening to this podcast become a part of a live show that you host?
So, you know, there's a couple ways that I would say. I mean, I'll explain the way Ben got in, and I'll explain the way that Ricky got in.
Yeah.
So we'll start with Ricky first. So Ricky is with Universal Music. When we started the live event, and going back to the reason why we started the live event is because we're not trying to just be a party. And as we've seen over the last 2 years with more R&B parties just coming up, like now there's so many more, we always look at how do we differentiate ourselves. And one of the things is, we don't want to just be a party. We want to be uplifting South African
and building culture.
Yeah, and to a greater extent, African R&B. You know, we want to be the tastemaker for African R&B.
Love that.
So we started relationships with several record labels. So a lot of them seed artists to us, and then we set up meetings, and then we were like, okay, cool, who's releasing an album between the record labels? And then we decide, okay, cool, we'll go with this artist. So that's number one, is through record labels. Now, the other thing that we did was, previously we only had one artist. Now we wanted to expand that to have an opening artist, so it's not just record label signed artists that are getting the opportunity.
Yeah.
So the way Ben came in is through community. So another thing that we want to say is, from the DJs that we book to the artists, you know, that we look at to put on the live, it's always community first. And we say that you don't have
even
to.
Ricky.
Yeah, even Ricky. Like, you don't have to come to a Strictly Soul for us to book you.
Wow.
But.
Yeah.
But. If you want to get booked and there's another artist that comes to Strictly Soul that wants to get booked, if all things are being equal, we're going to go with the person that's supporting us in the community, because the more people support us, the bigger we get. The bigger 100%. We get, the better the platform we can give to the community.
Yeah.
So Ben got in because he's affiliated with a crew called Saison Sundays.
Oh.
And they've always been a big supporter of ours. We've collaborated with a lot of work with them. So we gave them the opening slot to kind of curate.
Yeah.
And then Tom unfortunately couldn't make it back from Zimbabwe. But so then they recommended Ben. So Ben came in via community. So I think that's a great representation. Ricky is also community.
Yeah, he's been attending Strictly Soul since, what, 2021 maybe?
Yeah, he's been coming a lot. But, you know, if you look at it, he came in via label and Ben came in via community. So I would say that's the best way. Is like if you're an artist or a DJ that wants to perform at Strictly Soul, like attend, you know, get to know us, introduce yourself to me, introduce yourself to Anita.
Yeah.
When we see you there, it just helps. When we have the meeting or when I'm having to come up with the lineup, I'll be like, oh man, I need to fill a DJ slot. Oh, you know what? So-and-so was at the last event or the last couple of events, really trying to, it just helps, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it also, especially for the DJs, you know, obviously, DJs are knocking down Akio's door constantly wanting to get put on the lineup.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, because Akio's very particular about the curation of the event.
Yes.
You know, from start to finish, there is a very, very considered and intentional structure. He's much more likely to pick a DJ that has attended a couple of events and understands the structure of the night than someone who's never been there and who might go completely off brief.
Sure.
So, you know, again, community is important to us, but also part of that community element is understanding what Strictly Soul's actually about
yeah.
the things that we care about. You know, we if say the opening DJ or even the second DJ completely misses the mark, it can completely throw off the event,
the entire event,
and it's really rough to try and get it back into the right pacing. So those are the type of things that we're constantly, you know, from the promoter event coordinator standpoint, these are the things that we think about.
And just to touch back on that, if we're talking about entrepreneurship and artists as themselves are entrepreneurs, and one of the things that I always try and emphasize is like, go to the events that you want to get booked at. Like, it makes such a big difference. And, you know, I understand that as a DJ. And even though I don't particularly like to go out as much as I used to, I understand the more I'm out, the more I show love, the more I show face at different events, the more I'm getting booked.
Yes.
Because a lot of times promoters will be like, oh, yo, Akio, thank you for coming through, da da da. Next thing you know, I don't even have to ask them.
Yeah.
I don't have to say to them, yo, when are you guys going to put me on? I just attend. And then within a few weeks or a month later, you'll get that message, yo, do you want to come play at this event?
Yeah.
It just really helps. You know, if you're a creative and you're an introvert, I understand that makes it tough, but that's if you want to be successful, you've got to put yourself out there. Get to know promoters. Be cool with them. You know, like people will support you more if they see you supporting them.
I completely agree with that. I always say it's sticking your neck out. You have to stick your neck out to get what you want. Mm. Also, there's a fire playlist that you played with local R&B. Oh my gosh, how do I get it?
Oh, thank you so much for
that was fire.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So again, that goes back to us really wanting to like promote South African R&B.
Yeah.
So we look at even the way that we've kind of changed a bit of the party and it's gotten more new school. So at the beginning, it was very much 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
Now we play our old school, but we also do a lot of new school. And that was like a slow progression. A lot of like the new school songs, I only played in the opening set.
Yeah.
And then slowly, as they started getting bigger, you know, we started moving it to the main set. And that's like my vision for Strictly Soul is right now we play a lot of the local stuff in the opening set.
Yeah.
But building this foundation so that and this just identity of like playing more South African R&B and getting to the point where I can play a local song, a new local song in the main set. So for us, again, we really want to be promoting local R&B. And again, it's like going back to being progressive, being the tastemaker, being the crew that uplifts South African and eventually African R&B.
Yeah.
So with that playlist, it's, you know, I would just listen to a lot of stuff on Spotify, go through some of the playlists that they were given, listen to other people's playlists, and then kind of compile the one that worked best for me.
Oh, that was fire. I need it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is kind of part of the unique selling point of Strictly Soul. I mean, as I'm sure you know, there are a lot of R&B parties that have emerged in the aftermath of our kind of rise to prominence.
Yeah.
And a lot of those events are kind of more your old school R&B types. So kind of looking back at 80s, 90s, and 90s R&B, which is great. There's a very big market for
that. It's redundant, Anita.
But so this is the thing. For us, we don't want to be in that lane. We want to be pushing culture. We want to be culture building.
Mm-hmm.
So while there is definitely a market for that, and honestly, it would drive us crazy playing basically the same playlist week after week after week after week. So, you know, for us, finding a way to get our community really interested in local R&B, in regional R&B. You know, we had an event in Kigali recently where one of the DJs played a local song that we'd never heard of before. We have since learned who the artist is. But when I tell you the way the crowd exploded was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I guess this was like the equivalent of someone playing maybe a Shekinah track in the club. And, you know, us getting that exposure to that, we want to be able to share that experience continentally with the six territories that we're currently in. Seven? With we want to be able to take R&B from different countries and bring it into new countries, open up new territories for artists who would not necessarily have had access to those territories, except maybe the random person who does deep dives on Spotify. This is what we hope to be as Strictly Soul in the long run.
And what is currently on your playlist? Like, what's like the three songs that you say inspire your entrepreneurial journey? Top of your head. Come on, you're so exposed to music.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We're so exposed to music. Like, we do absorb a lot of music. So it's hard to pinpoint. It's like saying, what's your favorite movie? It's not always necessarily an easy answer.
I get you.
But, okay, Akio, you've been thinking.
I don't really, I don't have an answer for that. You know, I would say, just because I've been listening to a lot of like the local stuff, and I feel like there's been a lot of inspiration for me. The three songs, they're all kind of on that playlist. There's that Cash CPT song that I have at the very beginning of the playlist.
Yeah,
I really enjoy. I really enjoy the Michaela Jones 24/7. I think that's a really fun track. And then I also like the Fila Lala track that's on there. Ah, I can't remember the name off the top of my head as well, but I play those a lot because I'm playing that local R&B. Mixed quite a bit. I've actually been playing the local stuff more, to myself, more than I've been playing the international.
I love that. I love that. Now let's talk growth and sustainability. So what have been some of the key lessons that you've learned? Because this is a journey for both of you guys in like growing Strictly Soul across Africa. Also, how do you maintain consistency across different regions and events?
By being stubborn, I suppose. Like we are very particular in terms of the way that We essentially have like a brand toolkit for Strictly Soul. So what we say is like the experience must be the same everywhere we go. So we don't ever want, people to look at our Instagram and see the party in Kigali and then they attend in Kampala and it's a completely
different
experience.
Yeah.
So we have the way that our layout is almost essentially the same everywhere we go, which is we have like the DJ booth, always ground level.
Yeah.
Because as a DJ, I like to be right there with the crowd. I hate being on a
stage.
I've seen that in the pictures.
Must like be able to like literally make touch. And just be right there, you know. And then so ground level. Then we always have the stage slightly elevated. So we even have what's the height on that?
It's about 20-30 centimeters height.
Wow. Yeah.
So behind the DJ booth.
So it's just above me and basically it's just high enough so that Anita can stand behind me. And if you took a photo, you could get the DJ booth, me and her all in the same photo.
Again, but basically that space is basically for kind of the attendees who have really like exciting energy, who are dancing, singing, they can come and stand behind the DJ booth on this platform and be part of the experience.
So that's, again, part of us. Well, when you're at Strictly Soul, and it's, again, you don't see this at other R&B parties, is the energy is almost like a mosh pit at some point.
For R&B,
the image
doesn't
even talk.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that's based on the energy that I give. It's the energy that Anita gives, and it's the energy that we have from the stage behind us. And we have a name for it. I don't know if we can say it. Bad Girl Avenue. We'll call it Bad Girl Avenue. There's another name for it.
BBA.
Yeah. So Bad Girl Avenue, the size of the DJ booth, that's standard everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And then we build our floor out is we build like almost like a rectangular dance space that opens up.
Yeah.
And then you have table bookings on the side and in the back around so that it engulfs the space.
Yeah.
So you have the table bookings that are there, but we will always have a dance floor. It we don't negotiate that in that layout as well. So what that does is that brings that energy into that rectangular space, creates the dance floor. You've got the people that are
chilling
on the side, but they usually get up as well.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you get that similar experience, that similar vibe. And then also even from the venues that we choose, we don't choose clubs, we choose lounges, we choose restaurants. You know, we're very particular about that. Super particular, me especially, about lighting. So the lighting is always the same, warm lighting. It dims as the night goes on.
Wow.
So that's like one of the reasons I would say is that we're extremely like determined and stubborn in terms of we don't compromise the experience. And we kind of say it's like McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? Like, but not necessarily in the same way, but in the same way that whenever you go, the big and tasty taste the same everywhere because they have standards in terms of how it's supposed to taste, who their suppliers are, all of those things. So we never want to go to a place where it's just the experience is like something completely different than what you see.
Yeah. And we have had that happen before. Like, you know, we had an event in Arusha in Tanzania once.
Okay.
Where, you know, we arrived on the day of, we didn't have a lot of say in
it. It was a club also.
Yeah, it was a club.
Yeah.
Our local fixer was primarily in charge of making it, setting it up.
Okay.
And it missed the mark.
Sure.
It was completely not right. You know, the room was full. The music was doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But people weren't dancing. The energy wasn't right. It did not feel like a strictly sold experience.
Yeah, layout wasn't right. Sure. Lighting wasn't right.
Yeah.
DJ booth wasn't right. There was just everything wasn't right. So
many things were wrong. And so we haven't gone back to that.
Yeah, we don't even care about the money in that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the right experience.
And, you know, for us, and I think this is also a lot to do with, like, marketing background. So I obviously worked in advertising. Akio also worked in advertising and was it an activations, marketing side stuff?
Mm.
Where, you know, we learned a lot about how to execute for a brand.
Okay.
And staying true to the brand and recognizing what type of deliverables beyond making money are important.
Yeah.
So for us, we know if we ensure that the brand experience is right, then we have a long-term pathway to profitability.
Yeah.
As long as we stay true to our brand pillars, as they like to call them, then we know that we can achieve success, whether it's for the next event, whether it's for the next 4 events, 10 events, we know that that is achievable if we stick to our brand.
Yeah, and even, you know, sticking with our brand, again, it's us being stubborn. Like, you don't know how many times we've gone to a territory and people on the ground have told us, Kenyans don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Rwandans don't do this. Mm. You can't do that. Don't know if this isn't going to resonate. They don't do this.
Wow.
Ugandans don't do this. Tanzanians will not do this. You're going to waste your time.
Wow.
And then it's like, okay, has anyone tried? Well, no, not really. Or nah, but we that's just not
like
how we are.
We know our people.
Yeah. And then we do it and people are like, oh, no one ever does this. You know, we're so happy. Just understanding, you know, what people want. And also, you know, we've changed. Like when we're in Namibia, like I don't know how many people have come up to me and told me, yo, this party has changed nightlife in general. Everybody is starting to think outside the box. Before you guys came here, everybody was doing the same things, from the music that was being played to the experience that was being played to the way that venues were being laid out. Everybody was doing the same. And now you've challenged everybody to do something different.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what we've done across a lot of other territories, is because people would see an existing model that works and then everybody just does that same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No one's trying to do anything different. So, you know, I think it goes back to what I was saying originally as an entrepreneur. It's like, cool, you can maybe be successful jumping on what everybody else is jumping on, but at the same time, like, look at what no one's doing, but what people actually want. And, you know, that's a better lane to be in. Eventually, everyone's going to copy you, but, you know, you're going to have a good run where it's just you. And then by the time everybody copies you, and it's something I used to tell Anita and Dino and everybody else years ago, all the way back in 2021, I would tell them, even years before people started doing these events, I'm like, oh, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
But we need to have such a big head start. We need to be so far ahead of everybody that they can't catch up.
Yo, it's hard to catch up. You guys are real trailblazers. And also, like, I'm in awe of the fact that you're such a visionary. The fact that it started on an Instagram live and to where it is today, I'm certain a lot is going to happen in the new year and so forth. So what are the plans from here? I know that there's an event on the 1st of November in Ghana. Can I please, Tlaning Faga in your bag, please?
you and everyone else.
Yeah. You know, I think for us, we possibly some further expansion into Africa. But I think that there's other like ways that this Strictly Soul brand can be utilized. And I think that one of the blessings that we've had with Strictly Soul is like me and Anita have seen more of Africa than so many people. Like we've been so fortunate.
Running out of pages on my passport.
Sure. Yeah.
For real.
What a life.
And it's such a beautiful thing. Like not enough people travel within Africa,
I would say,
and especially South Africans. I think maybe
that's
other
true.
Africans do. Like
it's very true.
When South Africans get a chance to travel, it's we're going to go to
Europe,
London,
Asia,
something like that.
Yeah. Even Asia is like the rare explorers.
We like the Thailands, your Balis. That's the standard for South Africans.
But people love going to London, New York,
London as well,
for sure.
Yeah,
and I think that creating like this. This route within Africa, getting South Africans to travel more within the continent, really just in general, getting Africans to travel within the continent is such a great thing. And I think Strictly Soul eventually can kind of help bridge that gap in a sense that the more that we've been traveling, the more we have friends here in South Africa that are like, yo, I've got to come to the one in Rwanda or yo, next time y'all are in Kenya, I really want to go, you know? And I think at some point, you know, creating like a situation where we can get more people to travel or maybe doing a destination. You know, we played with the idea of maybe doing partnering to do a festival in Zanzibar and getting all our communities from all over Africa to all come to Zanzibar.
That'll be so
in the
epic.
Winter. We'll do it in June or July so you guys can escape the cold or something like that. But, you know, I think that's, you know, you ask us what we want to do. I think going into like bigger concert, maybe festival mode, but also using our platform to get people to travel and bridge our communities from different countries together in some way or another.
Yeah. Because our focus is so much on community and creating that like bond through culture and music, creating that connection across the continents is also really exciting for us. And it is happening to a degree organically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have a lot of people from Kenya who will, you know, someone will come up to us at our Nairobi events and be like, oh, I attended the one in Tanzania, I attended the one in Cape Town.
Wow.
And so I had to come to this one. And I think as we can cultivate that, that will become more of a natural way for people, a natural excuse for people to travel the continent.
I actually want to do the one in Kenya.
It's great.
So I'm planning for it next year. I really want to do that one. Also, how can people get a hold of Strictly Soul? I know you guys are on Instagram. If anyone is interested, there's also a Durban event coming up.
Yes.
So how can people get involved, etc.?
So I think the easiest thing to do is to reach out to us on Instagram or on TikTok.
Yeah.
Our Instagram is Strictly Soul Official and our TikTok is just Strictly Soul.
Okay.
We do have a website as well that has kind of FAQs and kind of a feedback form type thing. So, you know, if it's like you want to specifically collaborate, there is an FAQ about that. But to be honest, the best way to get through to us is via social media. We have our lovely Nsamwa who pays attention to the DMs and will relay any messages that are important to us.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And then our next event. So we have obviously Strictly Soul this coming Friday.
Yeah.
And then we have Dar es Salaam on Saturday.
Sure.
Which we are going to be very tired for. And then we will be back in Joburg on Sunday.
Wow.
I know we're spending less than 24 hours in Dar es Salaam, but we will be back for the Heineken Polo, which we're curating the after party.
Oh, yes, I see that one.
And then the following week, we have Durban.
Yeah.
And then Ghana.
And then Ghana.
Wow.
No way, Durban, then Ghana.
Booked and busy.
Booked and busy. No sleep.
I love
bus,
it.
Train, bus.
I love it. I love it. So intentional. I truly, truly am honored to actually have had you guys today.
Thank you for having us.
I'll see you guys at the next event.
Amazing. What, tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. I'd be lying. But soon.
We'll see you on Bad Girl Avenue.
Oh, my God. That's a wrap for today's episode of Life as a Freelancer. Thank you for tuning in and being part of this inspiring conversation with Akia and Anita from Strictly Soul. If you found value in our chat, make sure to show us some love. Don't forget to like, follow, and review the podcast on Ayono FM, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Your support helps us keep bringing you stories from incredible entrepreneurs who are shaping the future, as you saw today or as you heard. Turning.
Yeah.